Now we hear the delightful voice of the beloved English actress Ellen Terry. Although she died at age 78 in 1926, here is an excerpt from a talk she gave through direct voice on July 4th, 1965, 39 years later.
I find personally that it is not so much the being able to concentrate one's thoughts so that they are received via this mechanism which is termed a voice box, which really reproduces one's thoughts. It's not so difficult getting one's thoughts reproduced. I think the main difficulty is making sure, if one can be sure, that one's personality is very apparent. You see, if you can realize that in this communication it is really a form of thought transference. I concentrate my thought as to what I wish to convey. The reproducing voice box reproduces the sound so that you can hear the thought vibrating your atmosphere. But the difficulty is to intensify oneself to the extent that one's personality, as one remembers it, particularly perhaps from an earthly point of view, so that it is recognizable on your side, perhaps to people who may have known us when on earth. The problem is to transmit a complete impression of oneself, not perhaps altogether as one may be now in one's new environment, but perhaps more often as one was when one was on earth, particularly from the point of view of the evidential aspect. Of course, we are much more concerned with transmitting our thoughts and our personality as to our present state, which from our point of view obviously is the important thing. But we have to bear in mind that there are people in your world who are waiting for what they feel is substantial evidence of personality. And of course you must remember that quite often, and indeed in most instances, one must change. One does not remain the same. One does not remain as one was. If it were so, it seems rather pointless to go on living in any conditional world. But of course the evidential value of reproducing one's old self is important, and that is the problem and the difficulty. It is not so difficult, perhaps, in a sense, to reproduce one's self if you've only just recently come over, because you have not in consequence change so drastically. And when you make the attempt to communicate, if you are successful, it is more likely that you will reproduce a great deal of yourself as you were known. But to those souls who have progressed and have gone on, as it were, to a higher condition of life, the old self is very different. For instance, a person such as myself who was aged, if I were to come back as I am now, in appearance and in personality, a much younger woman. Although I reproduce that self as I am, which would be preferable because I would rather people know that I am no longer an old lady, but if I were to do that, people would say, oh, that couldn't possibly be, because she was very old when she died and her voice was very different, you see, and so on. But people must remember that if we come, as we do, from spheres far removed from your world, then not only have we mentally and spiritually advanced, but also, in a sense, if I can use the expression physical, although it is not the correct word, because you will naturally think of the material aspect entirely, but the point is that we outwardly have changed. For instance, no longer has one an aged body, no longer does one suffer from the material ailments that one may have had when on earth, one's body is young and revitalized. It is quite different. My name is Terry.
Oh, hello, Terry.
Yes, you remember I have spoken to you before, and I'm tremendously interested and have been for a very long time, as no doubt you know, in all aspects of communication, and particularly am I anxious to be of assistance and help to those in your world who are seeking truth. Well, I'm very happy indeed, because all we who come to you, and I speak for everyone here, our main concern, our main interest and desire in coming to you is to be of real service, to take away the fear of death, to give people the realization of life that is to come, to make them more and more conscious of their responsibilities one to the other while on earth, to realize that the life on earth is a very necessary and a very essential part of their evolution, and not to accept it just as the only life, and to try to realize too that it is not only the life that is to come. The responsibility of life is tremendous, and although there are times when it seems that the life on earth has no rhyme nor reason, no plan, there seems to be no real meaning or purpose behind everything in life, whether it is good or bad, whatever may happen to us or to those that we love or to the world, there is behind it all reason. There is purpose. When there are things that come to pass in our lives and the lives of those that are near and dear to us and indeed to the world at large, there is a reason. Quite often, indeed, one can trace much unhappiness in life to man himself. Man himself invariably brings upon himself all manner of ill because he thinks ill, and he brings in consequence the unhappiness that he so often rejects, and so often he feels unnecessary, and so often he considers unjust. Often man rails against God, blaming God for all the manifold conditions of life that cause sadness and unhappiness. But within man is the power of good, and also, unfortunately, the power of so-called evil. There is always the opportunity for man to create happiness, to create good conditions, and there is for man the opportunity to create the opposite. Man blames God when things go wrong, but rarely praises him when things go well. Man creates, out of his ignorance quite often, catastrophe and sadness and illness. So much of the ills of the world can be traced to man's own foolishness. When man realizes this truth, when he realizes the great possibilities within himself to create a different world, where the thoughts that are predominant are good, and in consequence the acts that follow will be good, then there shall come into the world a new realization and a new way of life.
For our final sample of Direct Voice, we hear the American newspaper tycoon William Randolph Hearst, who died at age 87 in 1951. From his new perspective in the world of spirit, he looks back at some aspects of his business life 17 years after his funeral.
I suppose in my own fashion, served a purpose. It doesn't alter the fact that, like most human beings, I made some drastic mistakes. But I suppose, like the average human being, there's the good and the bad, fairly equal proportions. If I had my life over again, I suppose, like the vast majority of people, I do more or less the same. Doubt very much if I would be all that different. Although one can't help wishing that one had done so much more good. I wish to goodness that I could undo certain things. But I'm in good company. This whole business of communication between your world and ours is so in itself complicated. I realize that only too well. Trying to talk to you from this side of life, trying to keep my mind clear, fresh, and uncluttered, trying to recapture when necessary memories which I suppose recounted in this fashion would bring some proof to certain people. But remembering myself as I was, and knowing my friends, those that are left, and they're very few, remembering them and knowing myself and them, I realize that it would take a lot of convincing. In the hard-boiled world of newspaper, facts, 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 vital. And this is a subject which I already realize in trying to speak to you is important and essential to be as factual as possible. Qualities which certainly helped me when I came here to a better understanding of the realities of life. Path is never easy, and anyone in my position, in such a position as mine, finds it even more difficult, possibly. Too much power is bad, 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 really bad, horrible. And in my own fashion, I wielded a power over millions of people, and particularly over my intimate associates and close friends. And that power in itself, unfortunately, placed me in an invidious position. That although I had some faith, as one must have, and trust in human beings, particularly those tested and tried, I realize only too well that power corrupts even those that are near and dear to you. Surrounded by yes men, surrounded by people whose one desire was to make for themselves a nest, quite often I was placed in a position where I was never sure about any man. And yet I was blessed with some very good friends. Marion, particularly, who did so much for me. I don't know, as I look back in my life, I see and I realize only too well that we are all building for ourselves an illusion. And as as I think back in time, I realize that perhaps more than most, I lived a world and created a world of illusion. Very little satisfied me. I was never too satisfied with anything or anybody. Always wanting change, always wanting something new, something different. Until a time came when I lost all sense of reality. I lived in a world of my own creation. Indeed, I know that some people looked upon my empire as corrupt. And I see now that in some senses it's true. And I defy anyone, living in a world such as yours, caught up as I was politically and in every sense materially, not to be to some extent corrupt and corrupting. But in spite of all this, I like to think and feel that here and there, and I think I can say with sincerity, and I'm not condoning myself, neither am I trying to find excuses, but here and there I did some good. You know the Hearst Empire, newspaper empire,
yes,
was the most powerful in the United States. And I go back there sometimes to the office, and I see and I note, and I'm interested. But I'm no longer, thank God, so involved, so concerned. But I am concerned with one thing more than anything else. I'm concerned, as far as it is possible, in bringing to your world greater realization of truth. When I see the sad state of affairs today.
Have these voices been faked? Of course not. They were not created by fraud on the part of Leslie Flint. These four speakers are as vibrantly alive today as is our good friend and collaborator, Dr. George Jeffries Mueller, the American physicist who, over a three-year period, helped us create Mark IV Spiracom equipment. Now, with these added insights on the reality of life after death provided by the marvel of direct voice mediumship, let us return to the matter of our instrumental approach to communication via Spiracom. Let us consider the significance of the Spiracom breakthrough. The fact that our recent instrumental communications are in some ways as crude as were the initial communication by means of telegraphy, wireless telegraphy, telephone, and radio is of no importance. What is important are these astonishing facts. First, for the first time in mankind's history, it has been proven incontestably that death is merely a door to continuing life. Second, it is now certain that individual consciousness, what we often refer to as personality, continues to exist and function in a disease-free and pain-free environment. Third, the needless and destructive fear of death can be removed, as well as the deep concern over the passing of a loved one. Fourth, the taboo our culture has imposed on the whole subject of death can also be removed. Fifth, something else that can be jettisoned is the accumulated, non-productive religious dogma that has ruined countless lives over the centuries to the extent that it imposed burdens of fear and guilt. Sixth, the knowledge that the mind and soul transcend death of the physical body will help man begin to understand that it is his own thoughts and emotions that largely determine whether he will experience sickness or enjoy vibrant physical and mental health. Seven, Spiritcom developments can bring about changes in both science and religion to the improvement of both. Eighth, each individual can begin to realize that he or she is a permanent inhabitant of an apparently limitless cosmos and not just a soulless maze-running rat or corn-pecking pigeon as proclaimed by present-day behavioristic psychologists. Ninth, in the decades or centuries ahead, when such an instrumental system is perfected to the point where it can communicate with the mental and causal planes, mortal man will have access to the accumulated wisdom of the ages. That's quite an imposing list, isn't it, to result from this development of Spiritcom? How many events in the history of man have had more profound implications for the future of the human race? Now you see why I said in my opening statements that I was going to share with you information regarding one of the most exciting events that has occurred in the long history of man. So there you have the first report to the public on our many years of research. In a few days, listen again to the conversations with Dr. Mueller and the direct voice comments by Riche, Crooks, Terry, and Hurst. Realize these for what they truly are. Conversations taking place with people whose bodies were buried or cremated 14 to 43 years ago. Realize that their minds, memory banks, and personalities are still vibrantly alive. Now that you possess this knowledge, as well as other information in the accompanying booklet and in the Many Mansions chart, you can rest assured that you too will be living forever.